Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, where we're going to be studying today, Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the University of Michigan did a study on dogs, and they say that dogs have a memory of 5 minutes. I don't believe it. My dog remembers not just 5 minutes. I think that my dog remembers 2 months ago when I took her to the vet. You know, the vet poked her with a sharp needle and drew blood out of her arm. My dog remembers. I think my dog remembers, and she holds a grudge against me. My dog remembers when I left her off at the beauty parlor, and all the other dogs were there, all these strange dogs and all these strangers, and I was gone all morning. They took sharp scissors, and they clipped, and they clipped, and they clipped, and I think my dog remembers that, and I think she holds a grudge. So when I come up to her, and I hold out my arms, and I want to give her a hug, and I say, you know, hey, Woof, how you doing? I hear this low growl. It's like, don't come near me. I remember that sharp needle at the vet's office. I remember when you left me off at the, you know, beauty parlor, and I was gone. You left me there all morning. And so I think she holds a grudge against me. Well, grudges are not just for dogs. Experience Project, it's a website. It hosts a website for people to share their feelings on different things. Listen to a couple of people share their feelings on grudges. Someone by the name of Danielle, and we won't give her last name, but Danielle says this, I hold grudges and never forget them. When people say nasty things about me, I withdraw from them and lash out to other people. When my feelings get hurt, I obsess about what somebody does to me, and I never forgive them unless they say they are sorry and they never do it again. I find it hard to trust and confide in people because I believe that people will spread my secrets maliciously against me. If I confide in someone, I have a feeling that they will repeat it. Well, that's how Danielle feels. Someone else wrote this. Her name was Lone Wanderer. This is what she said about grudges. And I would forgive you for hurting me, and I guess it bottles up within me. If you overdo it, I can go berserk. I can turn into a person that I never knew I had in me. Something violent, evil, dark. And I will blank out, and those emotions will take over. So I warn you, if it happens, leave me alone. I don't want to hurt you. Her name was Lone Wanderer, and maybe kind of matches a little bit of how she feels at times. So a grudge, the dictionary says, means to grumble or to complain. It comes from Middle High German, to howl, to be unwilling to give or to admit, to be unwilling to give or to allow, with reluctance, with resentment. A grudge is a simmering, boiling, smoldering, angry, resentful grudge. If I ever get a hold of that person, just wait until that person is not watching. They're not watching their back. Just wait. Just wait. Do you really want to live that way? Do you really want to live your life with grudges, with things against other people in your heart? I don't. This morning, let's look into the Word. Let's look at a better way. Let's look at God's way. Stop with me for a moment and let's pray and ask the Lord for help this morning. Our Lord, we pray and come before you. We do not want simmering, resentful grudges deep within our hearts. Help us to look into your word. Help us to see your way. Guide and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, no matter how long you nurse a grudge, someone said, it won't get better. And it's true. No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. I hope you would say today, I don't want that. I don't want to hold grudges. I don't want bitterness in my soul against another person. Last week it was Matthew chapter 5 verses 21 and 22. And we said that murder is not so much in the hands. Murder or murderous thoughts begin in the heart. I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that in my life. So what do? If I don't want grudges, if I don't want that kind of a thing in my heart, what do I do? Here's one thing. Worship will help you think like a Christian. Worship will help you think like a Christian. Matthew chapter 5, and you're already in the chapter, but look at verse 23, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Jesus is in Matthew chapter 5 preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives a picture of a follower of God in the temple of his day. So can you picture it? You're in the temple. You are in the place where God resides. You are with God's people worshiping God. You stand before the priests who conduct the worship of the Lord. And you're singing songs of worship. Maybe you hear choirs of singers worshiping God over and over. You are giving an offering upon the altar. Maybe something from your flocks or herds. It is giving something of your best to the Lord. An act of worship. You are thinking of God. You are thinking of all he means to you, his promises and his blessings and his love and his forgiveness. Then our verse, Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, while you're there, rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Another version says it this way. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. You know, worship helps us to think godly thoughts. Worship helps us to think biblically. Worship, even being in a worship service, helps us to think right about God. Worship helps us to think right about others around us. When we're in a worship service, we start to think like God wants us to think. I reminded people last week in our quarterly meeting that we have a goal of 100 people attending our services in the morning service week by week. That's one of our goals for 2009, and we're really close. But you know what? Do you think we want numbers just for the sake of numbers? We want people in the worship service just so we can have all kinds of numbers to notch some goal in someone's spiritual belt of achievement? No, that is not the reason. We want people here. We want people at the worship service. Many who know God, many who are members, many who say they have faith, because this is a place where God can help you to think right. This is a place where God can help you to think like a Christian. You sit here with your Bible open in your lap. All around you are others who are seeking the Lord. They are your accountability partners in the faith. You have sung hymns of the Lord and spoken of your relationship to him through the singing. You have heard prayers that call upon the Lord for his help and that praise the Lord for his blessings. You have given to the Lord in the offering something valuable to you, an act of worship. And each month we have a time of communion as well. And you're here. And it's as if you're saying, speak to me, Lord, about my life. Is there anything between me and you, especially during the communion times? And it may be, as you are here, bringing your gift before the Lord, worshiping before the Lord, it may be that God will bring to mind, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. God brings you here, in part, to think biblically. God brings you into his presence in worship to think his thoughts, to think his ways. Last week we said murder is not so much in the hands as it is in the heart. And as I sit here today, I'm thinking, have I shown anger towards someone? Have I hurt someone? Have I shown contempt towards someone? Is there anyone in my life as I sit here, adjusting my thoughts, writing my thoughts before the Lord? Is there anyone that has anything against me because of what I have done to them? Our Lord, as I worship you today, may my horizontal relationships with others be right as I try to worship you and come before you, the God of heaven, this morning. Now, I believe that personal times of devotions and prayer are invaluable. They help us to think biblically during the week, and they draw us near to God. There's no doubt about it. But God has made it so that your Christianity works in corporate worship times. You cannot stay home. You cannot stay home and think biblically. You cannot stay home and have your Christianity work like God intended. Worship will help you to think like a Christian. Worship will help you to love your neighbor as yourself. Worship will help you to see and reconcile the wrongs between you and others. Simmering, boiling, smoldering, angry, resentful grudges? No. Unreconciled hurts and offenses between you and others? No. Make this place and these times of services a regular time where you can get together with God and draw near to Him and think right not only about Him, but think right about others around you, in this church, and in your family, and in your community. Well, Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, another valuable principle from our passage today that echoes last week's message. Listen to this. Outward acts of worship here in this service are worthless if my real life out there is against God. Outward acts of worship here in this service or times of service are worthless if my real life out there is against God. Matthew chapter 5 again, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Well, again, it's a picture of a worshiper of in Jesus' day, in the temple of Jesus' day, which was Herod's temple. Now, the temple that Herod built was beautiful. It was spectacular. It was a massive, monumental work of art. The gold and the cream-colored walls were so bright it was said that you couldn't look at them directly. You couldn't look directly at it without a blinding reflection. The temple took some 46 years to build. Wouldn't it be wonderful to enter that magnificent temple that Herod had built, that palace of God the King. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the priests in their special robes? Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear the choirs and the songs filling the air with praises to God? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a precious offering in your hand to give to surrender to God as an act of worship, the King of Heaven? Remember the last time you were at a wedding or some special ceremony? Everyone was dressed just right. Everyone said just the right thing. Everything looked just right. It's almost, you know, it transports your mind back to that formal worship in the temple where God is the King and you're going before God in worship and everything is done just right. But God says, thinking of our passage, God says, even if there is a wonderful worship, if everything is just right in your worship, and things are not right out there in the real world, out there where you're bumping into real people, the worship is pretty empty. That worship is pretty empty. I wonder, in how many churches in America today, where for some, at least, the worship is pretty empty. Oh, there are people lifting up sacrifices, giving in the offering plate. There are people who are singing the hymns and the choruses. They've got their book open, at least. There are people who are following the reading of the scriptures, or if it's responsive reading, they're reading along with the pastor or the whoever's reading that day. There are people who are hearing the message, but it all feels pretty powerless. It all feels like just going through the motions. It doesn't mean too much to the heart. Is it possible that it doesn't mean too much to the heart on Sunday, because the heart is so far from God Monday through Saturday? And some sit in church, perhaps, in churches in America, and say, why don't I get it? Why don't I feel God's nearness in the worship service? Is it because they have stepped away from Him and His principles in their day-by-day living? You can't live like the devil during the week and have perfect communion with God on Sunday. And you can't have someone who won't talk to you, who has something against you in daily living, and then have God talk to you on Sunday. Someone said this, a believer at war with his brother cannot be at peace with his father. You know, so when Jesus tries to sum everything up, when Jesus tries to give a summary of what is important in life, you've heard this passage before. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The two great commandments. Love God. Love vertically. But then he says, a little bit of what we're talking about today, love others. Love horizontally. They go hand in hand. They go together. They operate in sync. There is not much I can do, as I think back to the beginning of this message. There's not much I can do about my dog holding a grudge against me. And by the way, it's almost time to take her back to the beauty parlor. She'll be there all morning by herself. They'll pull out those sharp scissors and clip and clip and clip. And I'll come up to her and say, hey, whip, and try to hold her. And I'll hear that low growl. And then, if the truth be known, she mainly doesn't like me hugging her, There's not much I can do about my dog, but there is a lot I can do about a grudge that a person, a real, live, living, eternal soul, a grudge that a person has against me, a grudge perhaps that I have against another person. How about you? I often pray day by day in honesty and in confession and in heart-to-heart conversations with God. And you know why I do that? Because I want my prayers on Sunday to be real and meaningful and heard by Him on that day. I have often thought this as well, with our passage in view, as we speak on it today. If I don't get things right with that person now, Sunday will not go right. God does not want beautiful words and fitting acts of worship on Sunday when the rest of the week has been ugly, when there has been simmering, boiling, smoldering, angry, resentful grudges with someone in my life during the week. The worship on Sunday will not be right. And when I come to hear you all sing, and when I hear the scriptures read, and when the Sunday services are here, these worship services, when I'm here together with you, it straightens out my thinking. When I'm here in these worship services, I think about God. I think about how I should relate to Him. And I also think about others and how I ought to relate to them. Every Christian who wants meaningful faith should be here, allowing God to line up their lives with Him, allowing God to line up their lives with others. This is a great place to be, to think biblically. Before I come here, I ought to examine my thoughts. Before I come to the worship, is there anything between me and someone else? Do I need to talk to someone so I can talk to God? You know, a little later in this same sermon, Jesus is going to teach his disciples how to pray. And in that model prayer, you'll remember this, in that model prayer, Jesus says, "Forgive us for our sins, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us." Would you take a moment this morning? Would you close your eyes for a moment? Would you bow your head before the Lord? Is there a person that comes to mind as you're here this morning? You're thinking about God. You're thinking about right relationship with Him and right relationships with others. Is there a person that comes to mind? Is there someone that God has brought to your mind, someone you need to talk to, someone you need to reconcile with as you leave here today? And then the question is this: what will you do about it? What will you do about it? Let's take a moment and pray. Our Lord, here we are before you, in worship to you, singing, giving our offering, here with our accountability partners, other people here in the faith family. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to think biblically, help us to think Christian thoughts, thoughts that are according to your word. And I pray especially with our passage this morning, as a background, Lord, is there anyone in our minds that you've brought to mind today that we need to talk to this week before we return again next Sunday? Lord, I pray that you would help us to have right relations and to reconcile with people around us in our world. I pray by your power and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.